www.thekingofkings.com.
So we're talking about the king and his kingdom. And we're working through the parables of the kingdom found in Matthew chapter 13. We've already talked about the seed and the sower. We've done that parable. We've also talked about the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Those were the last 2 weeks. Today, we are going to look at the next two stories Jesus told, which are about the mustard seed and the yeast. So your title says the mustard seed and the yeast. It's not one parable. It's two different parables, okay? So the mustard seed and the yeast.
Okay, so what kind of seed do you think will grow a big plant? Most people would say a big seed, right? You'd think that big seeds will always make big plants, but that's not always the case. Sometimes the smallest seeds grow the biggest plants. Have you guys ever seen a mustard seed? It looks kind of like this. It's really hard to see, and if you were to like drop it on the ground or even put it in your hand, it's still really, really hard to see because it's so tiny. Even though mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds, mustard plants grow to be anywhere from 6 feet tall to 20 feet tall. Plus, it can spread up to 20 feet wide. That's really big, right? A plant that big would pretty much fill up the whole stage area. That's big. Mustard plants often look like a bush or a weed, but they are large enough that birds can perch on the branches and even build nests. That's the picture Jesus gave us of what the kingdom looks like. Okay.
So in Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 32, here's what it says. Here's another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches.
When it comes to the king and his kingdom, this parable tells us that it starts small. It started with just one man, Jesus, who is the Son of God. Like a mustard seed, it starts out very tiny, but then came his disciples and the other people who followed Jesus. After Jesus rose from the dead, they took the gospel message, or the good news of the kingdom, to the people throughout the land, and then to the nations around them. And they took them from place to place, all throughout the world. Not only that, but it was passed on from generation to generation for over 2,000 years, up to our present time today. Today there are millions, even billions of people alive who are followers of Jesus. They love the king and are part of his kingdom. And it all started with one man, Jesus. It starts small, just like a mustard seed. So the bottom line for today is God can turn something small into something huge. Can we all say that together?
God can turn something small into something huge.
One more time.
God can turn something small into something huge.
Matthew chapter 13, the next parable that he says, verse 33, it says, Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it worked all through the dough.
Leaven, or yeast, is what makes bread rise. Without it, you have something more like a cracker. It doesn't take much yeast to make bread rise. Jesus said that the woman mixed a little bit of yeast into 3 measures of her flour. That is about 60 pounds of flour, which would make about 60 loaves of bread. That's a lot of bread. That's a ton of bread. My family buys about 1 loaf of bread each week.
This one is not a whole loaf, by the way. I ate a few pieces. This is also the most unusual loaf of bread I found because it started out like this and it went down like this. My pieces were only this big. I just thought I'd share that. True story with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bread.
Yeah.
That's the bread.
So 60 loaves of bread would last an entire year.
For our family.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Just a little bit of yeast would affect all that bread. And Jesus said that's what the kingdom is like. Once it's here, it affects everything. Again, the bottom line is God can turn something small into something huge.
Let's say it. God can turn something small into something huge.
So what does that mean for you? You can have a big impact even when you're small. You guys, kids, can do a lot of things through Jesus. You don't have to be this big adult to do great things. Jesus will use you at any age. He can accomplish big things through you. God is able to do anything, and nothing can stop him because he's a really big God. He's the almighty, all-powerful, unstoppable God. So when we trust in him, he can do big things. So some of you might be wondering, well, what are some big and small ways God uses us to help build his kingdom? Well, that might be maybe inviting people to church. Maybe it's giving some of your allowance to support God's kingdom. It might even be just Jesus using your smile to make somebody happy and to show his love to other people.
Sure. Maybe it's something big like telling another person about Jesus, somebody who doesn't know about him. Maybe it's even teaching other people about the Bible. It could be lots of different things. Can you think of any other things that you can do, whether it's a big thing or a small thing, that is a way that God can help use, that God can use you to build his kingdom? And anyone can just shout it out. What are some things you can do that God can use you to do to help build his kingdom? Say hi to a random stranger. High five going on back there.
Good job, Chris.
Shout it out.
Isaac.
Be bold.
Give someone a hug. That's a good one.
Help people when they're feeling bad. Or maybe, was there another one coming? Go for it. I'm sorry, I interrupted the thought and it disappeared. Maybe you could help someone in need, like maybe they need help, you know, moving things or help doing the yard next door, if you can mow the lawn or do the snowblower. What's another one? Help cleaning. That's a good idea. Help people who are homeless.
Those are all really good answers.
Those are good answers. Yeah. What is it? What? Leave a big tip at a restaurant. Good idea. What was your CA? Give food to those who need it. Yes, okay. So those are some ideas. Big. Some of them are pretty big. Some of them might seem really small, but they're all important. Okay, so big and small ways God can help use you, that God can use you to help build his kingdom. That's a question that's in your booklets too. So when you guys can talk about that this week, you can write down some of your answers on that page when you're working through your booklet this week. Okay, but the point of today is
God can turn something small into something huge and nothing will stop him.
Right, little extra bonus there. Let's say that together.
God can turn something small into something huge, and nothing can stop him.
We're diving into these parables a little bit deeper this morning. The first two parables that we looked at the last couple of weeks, the parable of the sower and the seed and the parable of the wheat and the weeds, those two parables, interestingly, Jesus gave a bit of an explanation for what they were about. He talked to his disciples and told them about that. In Matthew 13, it actually tells us why Jesus used parables. Basically, it was to hide what he was there for. Right? He didn't want people to completely understand the kingdom, because if they did, if they understood he was really God, then they would turn their hearts back to him. We might think, well, that's a good thing, right? Because that's what he wanted. He wanted us to turn our hearts back to him. That would be a good thing for them. But Jesus didn't come just for them. He came for all people to change all eternity. And so if they accepted him as their king and they accepted his kingdom, then they would have never sent him to the cross, which is what makes anyone right with God when we put our faith and trust in him, when we believe. And that was his plan. So he hid its full meaning from people. And you can read about that in some of the other verses in Matthew chapter 13. I encourage you to do that this week. But here's the point. Since we have no explanation for the next five parables that Jesus gave, it means we need to, first of all, trust the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into our understanding of that. Because the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, Scripture says. And we also have to dig a little bit deeper, right? Because Jesus doesn't spell it all out for us. So while these parables both do talk about how it's true that God can turn little things into something big, that is totally true. But there's much more to this parable than that. So let's hear it again, the first one. Verse 31 and 32, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. Now, you might hear this initially and think, well, that's a really nice picture, right? This tiny little seed that makes a huge mustard plant that becomes a home for the birds taking shelter in it. How nice for the birds. But people of Jesus' day probably didn't see it that way. And here's why. Because as we heard about the size of mustard plants, they tended to take over everything, right? And if they grow 20 feet tall and 20 feet wide and take up a space like this, that's really big. It would very rapidly spill out over to the other rows of vegetables and plants that would be there. The other crops would get crowded out. They wouldn't grow right. Then there's the issue of like, well, what if you wanted to try and take it out of your garden? You try to uproot. The roots aren't so bad, but all the seeds are going to fall, right? And what's going to happen when the seeds fall? You're going to grow more mustard plants, right? They're like a weed in that way, right? It was pretty invasive plant to them. Plus, when those birds come in and make nests and make in the branches, they're going to eat all the mustard seeds, or at least a bunch of them. And you know what else they're going to eat? Everything else growing there, all your other vegetables. So typically, a farmer would want to plant mustard seeds out in a field, right? If they were going to, and it grew wild there anyway, but they were going to plant mustard seeds out in a field, not in what we typically think of as a garden. Now, here's what's interesting. In Luke's gospel account of this same story, Jesus says the man planted the mustard seed in his garden. And the people who would be hearing this would be thinking, that is ridiculous. Why would you do something like that? You would be normally doing anything you could to keep the mustard plants away from your crops, away from your other vegetables, because it would ruin everything. So the picture Jesus is giving here is one of a nice, proper, orderly vegetable garden with neatly separated rows of vegetable plants. And it's about to get taken over. It's about to get really messed up by a very invasive, weed-like plant. And that's what God's rule and reign is like. That's what happens when God's will is done. And so here's a second point for today. The king and his kingdom can't be stopped. It will take over everything. The king and his kingdom can't be stopped. It will take over everything. Well, if that's what the kingdom is like, then not everyone is going to be thrilled about it. Right? Not everyone is going to see it as a good thing. For some, the king and his kingdom are kind of a problem. Like, here's a question for you, back to this analogy. How many of you even like mustard? How many of you really like mustard? All right. How many of you are kind of, so-so? How many of you do not like mustard? All right. It's not quite half and half, but it's very split here. It's very split here. In the same way, some people are going to appreciate the kingdom like a giant plant that grows big and provides shelter for birds and seeds for making mustard. But others are going to see it as a nuisance, something that's trying to mess up their life. They don't care for it, and they will try to keep it as far away as possible. All right, so that's one of the things that we want to see in Jesus' parable. Right? There's a difference of perspective that people would have had. The second parable he gives, it seems a little more straightforward. Right? A tiny little bit of leaven or yeast affects all of the flour and the bread that it makes. Again, verse 33, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leaven. Now, a couple of things. First of all, I think it's important to note in this story that Jesus compares the master of the kingdom, or God, to a woman in this story. Right? This wasn't the only time he did that. But in a culture and society that was dominated by men, this was a pretty significant statement. Kind of ahead of its time, a little bit. And don't miss that, right? It's not the main point, but don't miss that. I'm guessing that probably ruffled a few feathers at that time. But also, he says this woman hid the yeast in the dough. Doesn't say like, oh, she mixed it. She hid it, right? Implying what? It's kind of out of place. Like maybe it wasn't supposed to be there. So remember, at certain times, like the Passover meals and the Passover festival, the Jewish people were told to eat bread without leaven or without yeast. And here's what it says in Exodus 12, and this day will be a memorial for you, and you are to celebrate it as a feast to the Lord, a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. For 7 days you must eat unleavened bread, right? No yeast in the bread. On the first day you are to remove the yeast from your houses. Whoever eats anything leavened from the first day through the 7th day must be cut off from Israel. Okay? So to come in contact with it was a bad thing. Right? It would make them like unclean, unfit for this celebration. So when Jesus talked about leaven or yeast, some would see it as unwanted, right? An undesirable ingredient that contaminated the flour and ultimately the bread. So what's the big deal about a little yeast? Well, just a little bit of yeast, once it's in there, you can't get it out. Right? Its presence in the flour changes everything. You might not even notice it at first, but when the bread starts rising, you're going to know it's in there. You're going to know. So just a little bit of yeast in 3 measures of flour can affect like 60 loaves of bread. Here's the reminder. The king and his kingdom can't be stopped. Right? The king and his kingdom can't be stopped. It will overtake everything. So with these two parables, some people would see the kingdom as a good thing, others would see it as a problem. And let me give you a couple of modern-day illustrations that can help with this. And maybe you kids can kind of relate to this too. Let's say you put too many bubbles in the bubble bath, right? What's going to happen? The bubbles are going to bubble up, and then it's going to fill your bathtub, and if the water keeps running and the bubble keeps going, then what happens? It's going to overflow. Flow, right? It's going to spill over. Maybe it even bubbles up like to the ceiling. I don't know. What if it filled your whole bathroom, right? That's a lot of bubbles. Now, I don't know about you, but at least when I was a kid, I'd be thinking, that's pretty cool. But I'm guessing your mom, maybe your dad, more so probably your mom, would walk into that room and go, oh no, this is a disaster. Right? So you're going, this is pretty cool. And another parent is going, this is a big problem. Okay? Let me give you another example. This one is related to our activity earlier. We had our popcorn challenge, right? Well, what would happen, let's say you're getting your popcorn ready and you put in the oil and it's heating, and then you put in the seeds, but you don't put in the right amount of seeds. You put in way too many seeds. Right? At first, it's not a big deal. It starts popping, but then eventually, what's going to happen to that popcorn? A popcorn explosion, apparently. The popcorn is going to overflow and spill everywhere all over the floor. Now, you'd be bummed because, first of all, well, you wasted some popcorn that fell on the floor. That's a bummer. You wasted those seeds, and you can't eat that, right? But your dog is going to be super happy. Right? Because she's going to get to eat up all the stuff that fell on the floor. right? It's just a matter of perspective. It's how you're looking at the same thing. Here's one more. And this one, it's not an example I'm going to give to you. It's from a kind of a classic movie clip from the movie Tommy Boy. Let's take a look at this.
That guy might not call us.
Can't believe he called me a psycho.
Hey, were you in there just now? You are a psycho. Good God. And comb your hair.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say you did much better. Thought you were so cool. Watch and learn, he says. Well, I was watching. Know what I saw?
It's a lie! I think you tried to bite me!
No way that just happened. My car is completely destroyed.
I swear I've seen a lot of stuff in my life, but that was awesome. But sorry about your car, man.
Right? That was awesome, right? Tommy saw this as awesome. But Richard, he saw it as a disaster, right? It ruined his car. Well, that's something we're supposed to see in these parables, right? Some people are going to see the kingdom as a really good thing, which it is. But others would see it like a weed, some sort of weed-like plant that was messing up their garden, or like yeast that was contaminating their bread. And that's the tension that we need to see in these parables, right? The kingdom of heaven will not be stopped. It is changing everything. Some are going to see that and embrace it and see it as beautiful. Others are going to see the kingdom of heaven like a nuisance that is kind of interfering with their life. Right? They're going to see it as a real problem. But either way, the king and his kingdom can't be stopped. It will take over everything. Now, as followers of Jesus, if we really want to follow the king and be a part of that kingdom, then we need to be willing to embrace the wild and chaotic nature of this. Right? Like a mustard plant, we can't tame it. We can't control it. So we have to ask ourselves a couple questions. Like first, are we willing to let God mess up our nice, neat, orderly life so that he can use us in his kingdom? Right? Are we willing to let God mess up our nice, neat, orderly life so that he can use us? Like a mustard seed that takes over the garden, are we ready to let him completely take over? Maybe another question we need to ask is, are we willing to let him affect every part of our life? Right, like the yeast that affects the whole batch, are we willing to give him 100% of our life to use as he wants to? Because if we do, then that first thing we talked about is true. God can turn something small into something huge. He can do great things if we're willing to surrender to him. And here's one last thought. You might be saying to yourself this morning, I know I've felt this way at times, like, well, who am I, really? Right? Who am I that God could use me in big ways? I'm nothing. I'm just a kid. I'm just one man. I'm just one woman. I don't have that much faith. Or I don't think my faith is really very strong. Well, guess what? That actually doesn't matter to God. It really doesn't. You don't have to have a lot of faith. You just have to have some faith. Because God can do incredible things. Right? Just a little bit of faith. Scriptures tell us just a little bit of faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. Just a little bit of faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed can cause a tree to be uprooted and planted in the sea. Right? With just a little bit of faith, God can accomplish amazing things for the kingdom of heaven because he's a big God. He's an amazing God. So do you have just a little bit of faith? If you do, we can surrender that to him and let him take over. He will turn something small into something huge. He will do great things through our life. Let's remember, we have a big God, and he's not going to be stopped. All right, let's pray this morning, and we're going to close with a few songs of worship that kind of focus on this idea. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you are a God who is big and mighty and strong and all-powerful. You are an incredible God. And so many times we think of ourselves as being kind of useless. Maybe we think of ourselves as being not all that significant. Maybe we think of ourselves as not being someone who can be used by you. I'm just a kid. I'm just one person. How could you use me? I don't have that much faith. How could you use me? But you're a God who is incredible. And you can use any one of us the way that you want. Father, we want to surrender ourselves to you this morning. We want to be able to simply say to you, would you please use us? We want to give you 100% of who we are because we believe your kingdom is a really big deal. We want to be a part of it. We want to follow after you. And God, as we follow after you, would you use us? Would you take what we have, even if it seems small to us, and turn it into something huge? God, we ask for you to do this. We want to trust you with all of who we are and surrender to you and lift this prayer before you in the name of Jesus, trusting that you will do great things as we allow you to. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing a couple of worship songs as we close.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.